Welcome everyone to today's Opsis SA call on the 1st of October. On the call we have Olivier Crépin-Leblanc, Jim Galvin, Mikey O'Connor, Jörg Schweiger, and from Mike and staff we have Bart Boswinkel, Patrick Jones, Julie Hedlund, and Christina Nordstrom, and guests are Christy Spain and Bill Graham. That's all.
Thanks, Christina, and welcome everybody, and especially welcome Bill and Chris for another visit with the Ops Gang. Our agenda's pretty short. I put the DSSA-DNS-RMF interaction conversation first so that Bill and Chris don't have to live through all the other stuff that we're going to do on the call. I don't know who should tee this this first topic up. Patrick, do you want to tee it up? Bart, you guys have been talking to Chris and Bill. I can tee it up, but I may not be the best one to do it. Whatever you guys want to do.
Let me do it. The Ops DSSA have been discussing take a step back. Say on the last call, all of us discussed the way the DSSA could interact with the contractor, and based on the following conversations, I think the preferred model was that the contractor would interact directly with the DSSA. The next step of that discussion, which was initiated by the Ops DSSA, is how to structure that interaction. And in order to more or less look at the different possibilities, in preparation of the Toronto meeting, and in order for the contractor to be properly briefed, Patrick and I thought it might be a good idea that the Ops DSSA would at least talk to Bill and Chris to have a follow-up of that discussion on, say, how to structure the interaction between the DSSA and the contractor itself in order to manage expectations on all sides. I think that's more or less the way we brief Bill and Chris on the topic, and the Ops DSSA as well.
Perfect. That was quite lovely.
This is Chris. Marky, I'm not 100% convinced that I'm actually any wiser than
well, here's the puzzler from my vantage point. By now, you all must know that I'm sort of a born and bred project manager. And having this sort of invisible dark matter gravity body circling around the DSSA project makes it really hard to run because if we go up to this little chart that I put together and I circulated to you guys, we've basically got two projects that kind of have to be run in fairly close coordination. And so my preference would be that at least one of us joins sort of day-to-day operational management gang that runs the DNS-RMF, and that one of the DNS-RMF joins the day-to-day operational gang that runs this project, so that basically once a week at least we can coordinate our schedules and iron out overlaps and so on, sort of on an ongoing basis.
Let me stop you for a second, Mike, because I think there's a danger of us running off into circles here. I think we need to. We had a conversation about this not that long ago. With you and me and Bill and I think Bart, I can't remember if anybody else was on the call, but Patrick, I think. But it seems to me that the first question that we need to decide is whether or not the role of the work of the DSSA is completed. And if it is completed, that's one thing and that's fine. And if it isn't completed, then, you know, what is its next step? And then, if it does have a next step, what the interface is with the, whatever it's called, let's call it the DNSRMF. And I think it's going a little, it's leaping a little bit into the third question to start talking about, you know, into people swapping roles or people being involved on both sides of the fence until we actually know for sure that we, what answers to one and two are. And I'm not 100% certain we got the answers of one or two when we last talked. That's not my recollection anyway, but maybe I've misrecollected. I didn't think we'd reached a conclusion about what the future of the DSSA was. Have I got that wrong?
I think so. Let me replay the bidding, because I sent this out to you and Bill and the ops gang, and you may not have seen it in the blizzard of email. So let me very quickly replay the slide deck that we built. I'm going to start with the picture, and, well, no, I'll start with the words. The words are easier. So we started that conversation with sort of a background level set, and we said, well, why did we start this thing? Well, we started it, blah, 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 and, you know, then we had a conversation in Prague, and the questions that emerged for the DSSA, let me make this a little bigger for you so you can read it, was should we continue? And a little series of subpoints under that. The landscape has changed. Our charter is to do a risk assessment, but the pressure has abated and the other project has been started. And maybe this is a good time to pass the baton over to the consultants. And so then we talked a little bit about overlaps and the fact that we're a pretty narrowly focused thing. We do risk assessment in the DSSA, whereas the DNSRMF is broader. It's got this whole framework notion. But we're broader in that we are looking at the whole DNS ecology, whereas the DNSRMF is more narrowly focused on it. On the corporation, ICANN. And then there was an issue that we raised that said, look, you know, we've already done a risk assessment framework. Is this all going to get superseded? So, you know, that was sort of the puzzler on the table.
Yep.
And here's sort of the list of conclusions. I apologize, this may be awfully small, but...
No, I can read that. That's fine.
Okay. Well, so the conclusions were we may be done, depending on what the framework looks like. And so it makes sense to sort of slow down just a little bit on the risk assessment work until that DNSRMF thing has been put together. We'll tidy up in the meantime. There's some stuff we need to do. Both in terms of some of the functional gaps and overlaps, but also we've got to go out to the community and get feedback on our phase one report and so on. So it's not like we totally stop. We've got some refining and consolidating yet to do. We talked a little bit about sort of options. Remember, maybe should have transcribed those, but I think Bill was the one who said, look, you know, option one would be to have the consultant do it all. Option two would be to have the consultant do this in conjunction with the community, et cetera, et cetera. And the conclusion that was arrived at on the call was that we would collaborate in phase two of the DNSRMF work, which is where the actual framework would get started after the DNSRMF has actually described the framework in phase one. Then phase two of that work is to actually turn it on. it's at that point that the SSA would have the option to decide whether to keep going with its work, because it may be that there is indeed work that we need to do that's different than what's coming out of the DNS RMAT framework. So then we said, and here's the punchline, and this is the reason for this call, really, I think, that we will participate in the DNS RMF work in several ways. First, we'll actually invite members of the team, not you guys, but the actual contractor, steering committee, whatever leadership group is put together to steer the DNS RMF work, which would presumably be managers from the contractor plus ICANN staff plus some of you guys from the board, to hammer out a final understanding of all this. And then we had a proposal that we would liaise with each other so that, and this is the point that I sort of led off with because I presumed that you had seen this, but I bet you haven't. So that we can sort of keep these two projects locked together and not waste either side's time with two projects that get out of sync with each other. That's my concern as a project manager. So there's the... And then the final one is that, you know, the DSSA will provide the ongoing community input into the DNS RMF work. And so there's the story. Now, I'm going to go really quickly to the picture, and then I'll circle back to whatever Q wants to develop. So what we did is we drew this picture. And on the top half is sort of what the DSSA gang is going to do. And we stretched it out across several ICANN meetings, Toronto and Beijing. The one in the bottom is a very high-level summary of what the DNS RMF project is going to do. They're going to do three things, and then in the middle is stuff that presumably we're going to do together. And so it's this picture that sort of describes at a really top level from a project manager standpoint what's going to happen, and it's there that I think the picture of the need to coordinate these things comes in a little bit clearer. So there you go. There's a rant, and then Bill Graham's in the queue. So go ahead, Bill. Bill? You may be on mute, Bill.
Oops, I put you on mute instead of taking you off. Sorry about
that.
There
you go.
That works better. Yeah, I think, as I said in when we had the email exchange around this, I think your description is pretty much correct as to what we thought about at the last meeting. I think I'm hearing from you, and maybe I'm wrong about this, but I think you are anticipating a significantly heavier hand on the tiller from the DNS Risk Management Framework Working Group than we foresee. At this point, having selected the consultant, and I think we need to get a status update from Patrick, we're now more or less retreating or backing off to a call as needed role with this. I don't think the working group is intending to be involved to any extent in the supervision of the ongoing functioning of the contract. That really has to be staff work, and Patrick's in charge of that. So the notion of weekly interaction with the working group and the DSSA seems a little overambitious for what we're foreseeing anyways. That's not to say that I think you shouldn't be very much involved to the extent the consultant is doing stuff that draws on DSSA's work. I think you should be absolutely up to date on that and comfortable that, that things are not going off on a strange direction or duplicating what's already been done. But I would see that being done pretty much by setting the ground rules early on and then trying to make sure that Patrick and his team are extremely well aware of the work you've done, which I know they are, and making sure that the consultant stays within the bounds. But with that, I think I would appreciate it if we could get Patrick to let you know where we are with the contract. Thank you.
I think we'll let the queue clear out, and then we'll get to Patrick, if that's okay. Patrick, do you want to drop yourself in the queue so I don't lose track of you?
Sure, put me in the queue.
Okay. Chris, go ahead.
So I agree with Bill, but I want to kind of go back a step, because I think I had seen your email, Mikey, but I hadn't invested quite as much effort in the conclusion slide as perhaps all the conclusion bits that perhaps I should have done. And what I'm about to say may be controversial, but I was there at the very beginning, so point is me doing anything other than giving you it the way that I see it. There's talk here about bottom-up, making sure this is bottom-up, and et cetera, et cetera, and I detect, because, and I completely understand why, you know, fear that the DSSRMF might not be bottom-up. But I want to be really clear here. The DSSA was never bottom-up. It was never intended to be bottom-up, and it's, in fact, structured in a way to try and create something that could be managed by those who actually have the knowledge and the understanding. It's why there are confidentiality clauses. It's why there is a provision in the charter for registries to go off on their own in little corners somewhere and discuss these things, because it was always understood that this would not be a truly bottom-up working group. And for that reason, to suggest that the DSSA could be the organ by which community input is provided to the DNSRMF is flawed. It certainly can provide input, and I would argue it's in a position to probably provide some expert input, but it certainly isn't in a position to provide community input. It's not that there aren't community people involved in it, because there are, it's just that it's not sufficiently community-based, and in fact it couldn't be sufficiently community-based to provide that. Secondly, and just as importantly, in my view, I think that a decision having been made, and I'm interested in hearing Patrick's update on where we are with this, but a decision having been made to employ consultants, and those consultants presumably answering to a series of terms of reference or a contract of works, it's not really particularly helpful to them or appropriate to force them into an issue where they are regularly consulting with what is effectively a disparate group of individuals brought together for a particular purpose. It doesn't mean that the DSSA doesn't have valuable input. As Bill has said, it should certainly be, well, I'm paraphrasing, but riding shotgun. But I'm not convinced that there needs to be an interface of quite the structure that you're suggesting. I think the idea of the DSSA taking a hiatus, doing the things that you've talked about it doing in the green slide that I think sits at the top of your presentation, doing the things that it needs to be doing while the consultants are doing their work is very valuable, and being available as expert input is also very valuable. But I'm concerned about setting up a structure that effectively may make the consultants' work tougher than it is already. That's just my immediate reaction to what's been said.
Thanks, Chris. Olivier, go ahead.
Thanks, Mikey. It's Olivier for the transcript. I think that Chris has partly answered the questions I was going to, or the points I was going to raise. But with regards to having the expert liaise with the community, perhaps liaise might not be the right term, as in liaising means having him on the calls, et cetera, et cetera. And hence the reason why the DSSA, or at least the document there, suggested that DSSA would liaise with the DNS-RMF group. However, I do recall from our last call with you and with you, Chris, and with Bill, that the consultants would interface directly with the DSSA working group so as for them to avoid reinventing the wheel that has already been, or you know, redoing the work that has already been done by the DSSA. So I'm not sure how that fits together. I understand more fully now how there should be perhaps maybe more separation between one and the other. But the feeling that I had was that the consultant would still interface with the DSSA working group.
Thanks, Olivier. Patrick, you finally are up. Go ahead.
Oh, well, thanks. So late last week, we completed our interview process and selection process and settled on a consultant to do this work. We're still in the process of dotting all the I's and crossing of T's and everything for the contract. So until that's in place, not really at a position to announce who that consultant is. Bill and the rest of the members of the Board Level Working Group are aware of who it is. And I'm comfortable that the consultant, once they get going and start reaching out to experts in the community beginning in Toronto, has a good approach and will want to talk to those who have been active in DSSA. That's kind of my update.
Oh, I'm muted.
Sorry for the abruptness.
I'm muted myself.
That's really all I have on that, unless you have specific questions. We can't really tell you who it is yet, although we're trying to complete the contracting process today as soon as we can.
Yeah, sorry. That was not a pregnant pause. That was a Mikey on mute pause. I didn't mean to do that. Sorry about that, Chris, or Patrick. Chris, go ahead.
Yeah, I just wanted to pick up on Olivier's point, which I agree with, and I'll try and explain. Yes, of course, the consultants should consult with, liaise with the DSSA. It would be extraordinary if they didn't. But I'm concerned not to lift the DSSA into a different position than anybody else. They're a registrar. The work that's been done is incredibly important work and very valuable, and yes, it would be nonsensical for the consultants to repeat that work, and yes, it would make no sense for them to do so. But to formalize a liaison is, I think, dangerous because I would prefer them to have an unfettered rein, I think, to go out and do what they need to do. The key is how their report is managed, and I think that's where we should be concentrating, which is why I said this concept of doing what you need to do in the bottom line of the chart that Mike put up, I think it's the bottom line of the green chart, and then sort of hiatusing and waiting for their report is, other than responding to them, is a sensible way to go, bearing in mind that community generally is going to take the input of the DSSA on the report of the consultants as seriously, if not more seriously, than the report itself.
Okay. York, go ahead.
Okay, thanks, Mikey. So, York, for the transcript. To me, it seems like a solution to our problem at hand might be pretty much straightforward, and to me it seems like we as a DSSA should make sure that our liaison, and I would call Patrick our liaison, is well aware of what we are doing and what we might have as valuable input for the DNS-RMF. We should keep our feet still until the DNS RMF has been figuring out what they really up to, what they do want to do, and what they don't want to do. And once we and the DNS RMF is aware what their schedule and that what their plans really are, we might just contribute, let's say, for example, our methodology. We might even contribute one of the initial things that have been associated with the work of the DSSA, and that is really conducting analysis into things that might disrupt or disturb the DNS. So let's just rely on information to our liaison, and that our call is Patrick, and just let us stop trying to get more interaction into the two different groups until the DNS RMS really has been pointing out what they really are up to.
Thanks, York. The queue is clear. I'm going to do one little rant. I'm only going to do it one more time. But I'm not quite sold, and here's why. In Prague, a gang of us met after the three meetings in a row on Thursday morning to talk about DNS RMF and the DSSA. And the upshot of that conversation was that the charter that was contained in the staff report at that time was a pretty much a direct overlap to what the DSSA had done. And so Julie Hammer and I wrote a draft to sort of summarize that conversation and circulated it back to that group. That draft, without any modification at all, became the charter. It became the replaced dropped-in charter for the DNS RMF. And my concern is that the working group, the board working group, is so hands-off that we're basically going to wind up, the rant that I laid down last week was, look, Julie and I may have made a mistake. We had no idea that was going to get no conversation whatsoever and then get just dropped right into the RFP. We were expecting that would be essentially notes from a conversation that happened after the meeting, that the group, the sort of rump group that did that meeting would have a conversation about it and refine it, that it would then go back to the board DNS RMF group for approval. And so my concern here, folks, is that you board guys are all really busy. I understand that. And everybody on the DNS RMF task force is really busy. But this is pretty laid-back, loosey-goosey project management from my standpoint. And I'm not in any way interested in changing the role of the DSSA. I completely agree with Chris on that. But as the person who does sort of the day-to-day project management of this effort, I'm concerned that without any clear coordination, we could wind up wasting a lot of people's time on both sides of the equation. We could waste a lot of time for the people on the DSSA. We could also waste a lot of consultants' time. And so what I'm asking for is some way to get a little bit richer interaction between these two groups. Patrick knows that I hold him in the very highest of regard, but this is something that's pretty important to me, that I have some sense that we've got a better mechanism for coordinating these things than what's happened so far. Chris, go ahead.
Mikey, thanks. I understand your I understand your point, and I get your passion. I think we may be starting from the wrong point. I think the starting point is that the consultant's supervision has to be a staff responsibility, and it will never work if it isn't. They're paid, they're consultants, they're paid, they're not volunteers, they're doing a job of work, and they need to be supervised by staff. I think that the project manager of the NSRMF project is Patrick. And, it may not be specifically Patrick, but let's just call it Patrick for the moment. Patrick, I'm using you as a collective now.
Thanks.
My pleasure. I have no problem with the project manager being asked to reach out to the DSSA when the project manager feels necessary, and I don't even have a problem with the project manager being asked to consult with the DSSA on areas of the work of the consultants that sit within the areas that the DSSA is or has worked on. My problem is creating a nexus or a link between the DSSA and the project itself. I think the two things that I think the DSSA needs to take a high level helicopter view and not get itself involved in the level of work that the consultants are going to do. I think the DSSA would far better serve the community to act at a higher level than at an operational level.
This is Mikey again. Chris, I don't really want to supervise this. Well, I'll amplify that. I think you're absolutely right. It is completely inappropriate for the DSSA to supervise the work that the consultant is doing. And I had no intent of conveying that impression. What I want to make sure is that the work that we're doing is coordinated with the work that the consultant is doing, because we are volunteers. And the last thing I want to see is all that volunteer work wasted in any way, either in the past or in the future. And so, quite frankly, the process to date between the DSSA and this project has been very opaque. And I think that opaqueness is a problem in terms of making sure that the efforts on both sides are productive. So I'm not saying I want the DSSA to be in a supervisory role, but I want it clearly understood that we are working in parallel here. And if we aren't careful, we're going to waste people's time. Bill, go ahead. I think I've belabored this point enough. It's your turn.
Thanks, Mikey. I think I do understand your concern. I would just, I guess, two things. Number one, I'd like to point out that there actually has not been anything going on the DNSRMF working group sides really since the RFP was posted, because that's a process that had to run its course, and as you've heard from Patrick, we're very close to being able to announce the contractor that satisfied all the criteria best. It's a person who's known to the ICANN community. You will certainly know them. They have experience of dealing with people in ICANN and the way that things work in ICANN. So any opacity that's been there has been there because there's really not been very much going on. Once the consultant is in place, Patrick and the working group have certainly been back and forth, and one of the first things we want to have happen is to set up a conversation between the consultant staff and the DSSA ops committee, or the whole group if needs be, to talk about the work that's been done, make sure that there's no overlap. And there's no intention to be opaque as the work goes on. You know, it will be done in a professional manner, but taking into account the concerns of the community. So that is absolutely in the charter for the work that's to be done. This really needs to be done in a way that keeps not only the DSSA satisfied, but I would say the entire community satisfied. So point taken, heard, and I really think that the opacity is more imaginary than real at this point. Second thing I'm wondering is if you've got specific suggestions about what kind of things you are wanting to see done. I mean, I think a weekly coordination call is probably overkill, but you know, we do need to think through what kind of mechanisms ensure community input to this process, so that it's all moving ahead in a way that will not waste anybody's time, because that's absolutely critical. I do agree. But that includes making sure that the consultant is able to get the work done in time. You know, having a call every month or so, I can't recall exactly what the timeline for the work is. I believe it's to be done before Beijing, so that's roughly 5.5 months, I think, from Toronto. We can certainly touch base, make sure that there's coordination. But I think most of the coordination will need to be done with the staff who are supervising this. Although I'm, you know, to the extent that it's useful for me to be on the calls, I'm happy to do that. But it's just, what are the precise mechanisms that we need to put in place to ensure that this doesn't go off track, I think, is where we need to be a bit more precise. Thanks.
Thanks, Bill. Let me clarify another thing. You know, in terms of content, you know, research, findings, interviews, summaries, analysis, and products, that's not what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is the project management stuff, tasks, dates, deliverables, responsibilities, etc. I tend to agree that weekly is probably overkill, although getting a project as complicated as the one that the DNS-RMF is taking on done in 5.5 months strikes me that they're likely to be doing weekly project management updates. It seems to me there are several mechanisms to coordinate. One thing that we do on the DSSA is we publish a weekly status report that talks about the tasks we did this week and the tasks we're going to do next week and issues and so on and so forth. It would be helpful to have similar transparency in terms of the project management of the DNS-RMF project, you know, not the content. The status reports don't have a lot to do with content. They have to do with progress. I think rather than setting an artificial interval, whether it's a week or a month, I think that the understanding that would be very helpful is to have the ability to sort of do what Chris counseled us to do at the very beginning of this, which was to get to know each other on both sides really well and feel comfortable to reach out whenever it's required to iron out schedule, coordination, overlap kinds of issues. But in order for that to happen, there has to be some way for the two to communicate with each other as to what they're doing. So that's sort of the initial kind of mechanical thought that I have. Chris, go ahead. Your hand popped up.
So, Mikey, I'm slightly confused. Well, no, I'm not confused. I'm concerned that we may be talking at cross purposes. What you've just said has to do with how you manage a project, and it's not your project to manage. How you manage the DSSA working group is a matter for you and the DSSA working group, and that's fine. And I happen to think it's a very good way of managing it. If you wanted to attempt to discuss with Patrick and influence Patrick in the way that he manages the DNSF RMS working group, then I don't have a problem with that either. You can talk to him as much as you like, and you guys can go into battle about the way that you manage projects. But the work of the consultants is the work of the consultants, and they must be allowed to manage that in the way that they choose to do so. They're answering for a request for proposals or whatever it may be, an EOI, and fundamentally, assuming they're any good and they understand how to do this stuff, they'll manage it the way that they manage it. So that's why I go back to what I said before, which is the key here, seems to me, is how the output of the consultants is managed, not how they come up with their report. I understand completely that if they were to ignore the work of the DSSA, that would be a major problem. If they were not to talk to you guys, that would be a major problem. But I don't think any of us think that's likely to happen. And I don't think that putting in place, you know, formal structures is necessarily going to assist. The key is what the DSS is, as you keep saying, is to ensure, as far as possible, that work is not duplicated. Now, having said that, let me also say that it may well be that some work does need to be duplicated. You'll know, Mikey is an experienced manager of projects as well as I do, that there are times when, you know, as someone who's running something, you do actually have to duplicate the work in order to, you know, put your stakes in the ground, get your anchors in place. I could mix some more metaphors if I chose to do that. Because you just have to in order to get a feel for and a handle on what's going on. So I think we need to be careful that we're not too precious about this, and that we, you know, we let them do the work that they need to do, but make sure that the steps are in place to deal with what the output is, and to make sure that the steps are in place to ensure that there's consultation where it needs to happen. And from my own personal point of view, and from my experience of dealing with Patrick, I would trust Patrick to ensure that consultation takes place when it needs to. And frankly, if it doesn't, I'd be furious and annoyed with him, and he would know about it.
I'm fine with that, Chris, but I'm going to refine it one notch, and that is, I don't think it's just the output, because to use another metaphor, which is always troubling, if you aim in the wrong direction, you're not going to get where you want to get. And so part of what has me so up in the branches about this is the unbelievably radical change in direction that Julie and I made to the DNS RMF charter in that little email note that we wrote right after that meeting in Prague. And my concern is that we got it wrong. And so I don't want to wait all the way to the point where the bullet hits the wrong target to be able to say, oops, hang on a minute. That's either a misunderstanding or it's different than, I mean, normally I wouldn't be quite so engaged in this, but Julie and I wrote that thing. And I'm a little edgy about what we wrote.
Hey, Mikey, it's Patrick. Is that charter change really that major a change in the direction of what was originally proposed?
I
don't read it that way.
Well, we can debate that. I mean, I think that the charter change went from essentially a risk assessment, which is the top part, which is what we were chartered to do, to a risk management framework thing, which is that whole page, and perhaps even more. It may even be something as broad as all that. And that change came in the change in the charter that Julie and I wrote.
Okay, so Chris and Bill can clarify this, but my recollection from this whole board structure from the beginning was that we were being tasked to develop a risk management framework.
Correct. But the task list that was in the original draft, I'd have to go dig it all out, I haven't got that handy, was very narrow compared to the task list that's in there now. And that's what I'm talking about, is the difference in the tasks to be done. And so, you know, I don't want to charter it. I don't want to run it. I don't want to supervise it. I just want to make sure that there's some way, before we get to a final product, to be able to stick our hand up and say, holy smoke. Are you sure this is really right? Because I'm concerned that, you know, we'll get all the way to the end of the work and discover that there is either 100% overlap or the opposite. You know, that there's a gap between the two. And it's purely at the project management task level. It's not at content whatsoever, except to have some way to interact. And, you know, there was a pretty strong reaction in the meeting. You know, folks like Alejandro Passante was beside himself when he read the charter that was being proposed for the DNSRMF. He was sort of saying, what's going on here? So I don't want to make a huge thing out of this, but I'm running out of steam. Bill, go ahead.
Thanks, Mickey. I think you're probably right. There's not a lot of point debating the changes. I would say I'm more on Patrick's line than yours in terms of how radical the changes were. And secondly, I would say that I felt the meeting in Prague and your and Julie's work afterwards were very, very helpful in clarifying the text of the charter in such a way that the consultant comes in with a much clearer sense of what needs to be done. I hear clearly what you're saying about wanting to be sure that there is no drift from that charter back in the direction of duplicating what DSSA has done. And I take that to heart. Patrick has heard it as well. We are committed to doing the consultation. I agree with your proposal that the way to do that is to be sure that everyone's been in contact, that a good solid working relationship is set up, and that there's no barriers to reaching out if there's a desire for advice, to just check things out, or to indicate if there is an issue. I think those things all make good sense, and I think those points, we've also heard the points, understand the points, and if you think there's a lack of understanding, please clarify that, because I really think we're kind of heading the same direction, but at the moment we're there, and there's nothing practical we can do until we get the contracting process finished, and then item one on the work plan is to put everybody in touch and start getting acquainted. So, long way of saying I hear you. Thanks,
Bill. Chris, go ahead.
Yeah, I'm going to try and close this down if I can, and I'll be as clear as I can be without
without being very specific. Everyone on this call, almost everyone on this call, knows why the DSSA was set up. It was set up in view of a particular set of circumstances which no longer pertain. If the circumstances that existed at the time we set the DSSA up still existed, I would be 100% pushing your barrow, Mikey. But they don't, and I think we need to take a step back and trust that we have a different set of circumstances, and that, therefore, what I would consider to be the normal rules of combat, for want of a better term, apply, and that we should allow the thing to play itself out. Understanding and knowing that enough of us know what's going on to weigh in if we need to pull it back from the brink if it needs to, and to allow the DSSA to step in and do what it needs to do if that's necessary. But I think we're in a circumstance where we need to allow things to take their natural course and trust, because the circumstances have changed.
Thanks, Chris. Jim, go ahead.
Thank you, Mikey. So I've been very quiet on this call, just kind of taking it all in, and we're, as we get ourselves nearer to the top of the hour here, as I listened to Chris give a final summary there, I was thinking that that pretty well says, I think, what I would like to say. I mean, I feel like I was the first and the strongest proponent of the current status of this DSSA group, you know, in recognition of the existence of this risk management group, and, you know, where the DSSA was going, I just kind of felt like, going back to your chart two slides back there, Mikey, I mean, you know, to me, a big question was whether or not the role of the DSSA is in fact relevant, and I think I had put that out there. You know, we had a lot of discussions. I like the idea that we're going to wait and let the risk management framework group, you know, move forward one step, and then we'll step back and reevaluate. I think what Chris just said is right. We should let things play out. I like the way that we have laid out our actions at this point. I appreciate your concern, Mikey, about the charter change, but I think that charter has gotten plenty of review. So, it's fair for you to remark on that again here in this group, but I don't think that, you know, if you're not getting a whole lot of traction on it, and I don't feel that you are at this point, I think you should feel comfortable and safe and not worry about it. So I'm more inclined, as Chris said, to just let things play out at this point. I'm not even sure I agree that we need weekly phone calls with whatever is going on with the consultant. But, you know, I'm okay if they occur, and if they don't, as long as there's some kind of communication. We do have Patrick. I'm presuming that Patrick will stay tightly in touch with them, and he's going to stay with us. I'm comfortable with that conduit for maintaining coordination at this point, while we let the DNS, RMF group take its first step, and then we all get back together again and reevaluate where we are. Let us just focus on finishing up our document at the moment, and then before we actually launch a risk assessment, let's reevaluate where we all are. As we've said here many times, the situation and circumstances have changed. So let's not kill ourselves over it. Thanks.
Thanks, Jim. Patrick?
Well, since we're down to the perhaps we have a face-to-face conversation in Toronto, we'll have the consultant at the meeting, and we can find time to talk this in detail there. And then it might be helpful, and maybe even ask Alejandro Pisanti if he's available. Does that sound like a practical next step?
Well, you know, originally, this is Mikey, originally what we were talking about, and this is part of the project manager in me, we were going to have some sort of conversation with the consultant sometime before Toronto. we're, you know, things are slipping. And it's certainly not my job to run anybody else's project, but I think if we wait till Toronto to have the first conversation, we miss an opportunity. Go ahead.
So, Mikey, just looking at the calendar, you know, even if we get the contractor, the consultant under contract this week, there's no guarantee that Thursday's full DSSA call is appropriate because that is really just a few days away. Monday the 8th, at least in the senior, I'm not going to be available to make the ops call. And then the 10th is the day before a lot of us get on planes to start heading to Toronto. I get to Toronto Thursday evening, the 11th. So we're really, you know, we're 11 days away from many of us starting to get to the meeting. It's just, I don't see it as feasible to get a call with between the consultant and even the ops group before the meeting.
Yeah, I get that. I don't, you know, I'm clearly alone on this. I'll simmer down. It's not a big deal for everybody else, blah, blah, blah. But I am frustrated, and I will remain that way until I see a little bit how this unfolds, because...
Pardon me, this is the operator. Did somebody request an operator?
Not I. I'm sort of the leader of the call. There have been some tones on the line. I'm not sure where those are coming from, but anyway, false alarm.
Okay, no problem. I'll put you back into conference. Have a good day.
Thanks a lot. I don't know. That totally distracted me. So with that, we are at the top of the hour. I think we'll just wrap it up at this point and call it a day.
So should we...
What are those?
A time for a face-to-face in Toronto with the consultant and you and you know, anyone else from the ops group that is interested, Bill and Chris, they're available, and try to find a time that works.
Yeah, absolutely. Preferably before the Thursday meeting, so that, you know,
right.
We've got at least some spig work done. That would be great. Okay, gang, thanks for joining. Thanks, Bill and Chris. We won't bug you anymore, I promise. See you later. I think that's it for me. Christina, do you want to wrap up the recording, and we'll call it a day?
Absolutely. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
See you, gang.
Okay, thanks.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.